You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Before we go into another series leading up into our Easter, we're doing a series on the cross. We're doing a mini-series just for the next 2 weeks called Flourishing. And it was something that the Lord put on my heart of just, there was a lot going on. I mean, this is like, when you hear what we just heard, it makes what anything that you're going through just all of a sudden immediately get in perspective, doesn't it? But I do believe that for all of us, God is calling us to flourish, spirit, soul, and the body, no matter what comes our way, no matter what we're experiencing. This is his calling, and we heard it from Pastor Pablo, and I want to reiterate it as your pastor. And so today and the next Sunday, Sheila's going to continue on this theme of what it means to flourish. I've got just two scriptures from 1 Thessalonians to leave with you. Here's the idea of flourishing. It comes from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. He said this, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." The reason why I picked this particular passage from this particular book was this church was in incredible peril as well. The Apostle Paul and Silas started this church in Greece, in Thessalonica, and after about 3 weeks or so of preaching, some people came to the Lord, but some of them began to actually put them into harm's way and saying, they're preaching something else other than Caesar, and we got to get rid of them, so much so that Paul and Silas actually had to flee the city. And Paul didn't even know whether or not that church was going to continue on. If you know the history of the early church, Christians were burned at the stake, they were crucified, they were, put on torches and, oil on them, and they were lit up and all manner of evil. And so Paul wasn't actually sure whether this little church that he started was going to make it. But the question that we have for all of us to reflect, even with what we've heard today, is this: how can we possibly flourish spirit, soul, and body in the midst of difficulty? Like, how do we do it? Just a couple days ago, I had my little men's prayer group. We have reactivated it, and there's just three of us. And just asking, for prayer requests, what's going on? And I was just amazed that, one had a very serious family issue. Another, a very tenuous, job economic issue. And then I started to share in some things that were going on in my world. And it was amazing how just three people were able to, share such difficult situations. And I've taken notice of this. And so as your pastor, I want to help just equip us all for moving forward, regardless of how the weeks and months unfold. So Paul was afraid that they wouldn't make it. How do we know this? We know this from 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 5, where he says this, "For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way, as the tempter had tempted you, and that our labors have been in vain." The great apostle Paul was wondering and worried, he said it a couple times in this chapter, whether, these believers even made it, whether they'd even go on and say, hey, yeah, we do believe in Jesus. We do believe in the kingdom of God. He was worried that they wouldn't make it. But it's interesting, how then did he know that they were flourishing? Because they were. And how did he know this? And I want to leave you with the second scripture for today. 1 Thessalonians 1, 8 and 9 says this, "The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell us how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and the true God." And this is my main point today, is that flourishing comes not by changing the external circumstances. Flourishing comes when we turn from trusting our idols to trusting God. That's how flourishing happens. Just like this church, Paul knew that they were making it and they were flourishing because they had turned from idols to serve and love the living God. Now, these believers had to, like today, reject and turn from two types of idols. First of all, there's the cultural idols. There's the idols that are external to us. All cultures have them. In their culture, it was actually the glory of Rome. What is the glory of Rome? The glory of Rome refers to the epic achievements of the ancient Rome, whether militarily, architecturally, or institutional, from the Colosseum to the spread of Roman law. It was known as the glory of Rome. I think I have a picture that kind of depicts the height of the Roman Empire. They had it all going on. When you think about it, the aqueducts, you know, the Roman roads, everything that was going on, and centered upon this was a belief. It was a belief that actually their leader, Caesar, was somehow specially endued by God to make this great empire. That's what they believed. And so when you say that the early Christians defied Caesar, what they were saying was basically this: you are not endowed by God. There is another Savior, and his name is Jesus. And the very first creed of the early church was actually, because in those days you would go, Caesar is God, Caesar is Lord. That was a saying that they would say in those days. And the Christians would, you know what they would respond that got them in so much trouble? The very first creed of the church: Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. They had turned and rejected the cultural idols that had been promised them. They said, no, we are not serving that. We're not serving that Caesar. Even though, and they were promised, see, here's the problem. Yes, Caesar was promising and making through this a lot of accomplishments, but the accomplishments were coming through power, through killing, through oppression, and through injustice. And Paul proclaimed a new king, Jesus, who he doesn't come in power, he comes as a servant. He doesn't come with sword and spear, he comes with the power of love and the power of the Holy Spirit. And these early believers were able to recognize the difference, and so much so that they wanted this new kingdom. I still, when I reflect on this and I put myself back in that time, I honestly don't know how I would fare if they said, you're a pastor of this church, all you have to do is say Caesar is Lord instead of Jesus is Lord, and you're good. But if you say Jesus is Lord, we're going to crucify you, Bert. We're going to burn you at the stake. I marvel at the early believers. Something was going on in their hearts that they would be able to say, what I found in Jesus is so beautiful, is so wonderful, is so excellent, that I would rather have that. I would rather have him. And you know what happened? And you know how Christianity defeated the Roman Empire? They say that as they were burning the Christians at the stake and feeding them to the lions, the centurions, they were dying like with a peace on their face and a beauty and a glory. And they say for every one Christian who was martyred, about three Roman centurions gave their life to Jesus. And it was actually the power of the love of Jesus that toppled over the Roman Empire. Where to the fact that the biggest plot twist in all of human history was in 320, when an actual Caesar said, it's not going to be the Roman Empire anymore. I'm a Christian. And Augustine said, it'll be now the Holy Roman Empire. Now, it had its faults in it, because I think they still were trying to kind of use a bit of the old power to enforce Jesus a kingdom, which is not good. But nonetheless, How did the power of Jesus' followers and his love overcome at that time the most magnificent empire that the world had ever known? And so we're not into empires here. You know, and you might think, I'm not following no Roman Empire. But every culture has gods and promises. There is absolutely a Canadian dream and a promise. If you come here, you can get a nice house, man. You can have a great life. You can be rich. You can be this. You can be that. And it's just a different empire. And to this day, lots of people buy into that empire. You know, it can be from the simplest thing of going to work out. You know, I got Lululemon. I actually got some for Christmas, so I've made it. I've arrived. But I'm sorry, but Lulu can't save you. Neither can anything else. Any other cultural thing that is a promise can't save your soul. Can't change your life, can't change your heart. There's only one person who can do that, and it's Jesus. He's the only one who can go through all those layers and go right into the inner person and change us. It's glorious and it's beautiful when we turn from our own idols and put our trust in him. So, but not only is there a cultural idol, there's also internal idols of the heart. And those are also in full display today like they have been since the beginning of time. What do I mean by this? One of the favorite pastors and Christian leaders who's now gone to be with Jesus that we love to quote around here is Dr. Timothy Keller, who had the great church in New York City and helped plant churches all over the world. But he had done just a wonderful work in some of his books and writings of unearthing the idols of the heart in the modern day. And here's a partial list of some of the idols of the heart that he highlighted. When you center your life on any of these things. Now, what's amazing is none of those things are bad in themselves. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about idols. When you look at these things, there's a dark side to every one of them. You know, relationships and approval. You know, if that's something that grips your heart, man, if I can just, you know, be nice to everybody, if I can just, you know, have that, then, but then you'll be controlled. You'll be controlled by what people think. You'll be led around by what others think and not by your own conviction. Certainly not the conviction of Scripture. You know, or work and career. Okay, I'm going to make it. And all of a sudden, you find out that your kids can't stand you because you're a workaholic. And you ruin the relationship with your children. Money and possessions. You know, all of a sudden, it's like, okay, this is going to give me significance. This is going to give me security. And all of a sudden, you just have to lose your soul. Your integrity starts to bend the rope. Because if it's money, then we can just go for the saying, well, it's just business. Bull, it's not business. It's called lying and cheating and stealing. That's what it's called. It's called injustice. It's not just business. So every one of these idols of the heart in the modern day are also reigning and trying to rule. And Paul knew that these believers had rejected these idols externally and internally and turned to the living God. And maybe some of their lives were cut short, but it was an abundant life. It was a life of freedom. It was a life that they could go down, put their head on the pillow at night and say, and be at peace in the midst of everything, knowing that they're right with God. So here's the thing about idols. The idols of our heart or cultural idols, they promise us freedom, but they do nothing but produce bondage. And if we want to flourish, and I believe everybody here wants to flourish, body, soul, and spirit, It all starts with checking our own hearts. Saying, Lord, show me my heart. Am I too wrapped up in the external cultural idols? Or maybe there's some things, you know, within me that I'm still needing to have more awareness with and understanding that there's more that I need to continue to trust you for transformation in my life. And I believe that as we all, me included, progressively move through this, that we're going to flourish. We're going to flourish. Regardless of what happens externally, there's an opportunity for you and I to flourish. I love the fact that our brother who just preached, he is flourishing, isn't he? Do you think that this guy is like being beat down to, you know, to nothing? No, in the midst of the difficulty, can't you just sense the flourishing of his soul? That's available to every one of us. You know, for some of you here, you may have never even ever turned your life over to Jesus Christ fully. And today can be your day. Today can be your day that say, Lord, I've followed what I want to do. I've been basically, it wasn't a Caesar is Lord. It was basically, I'm Lord. And what it means to make Jesus Lord is you say, I'm going to relinquish that first place in my life. It's not going to be about I, me, what I want, what I. Lord, I am going to turn and ask, what would you want with my life? I'm going to give my life over to you. And for some of you, you've already done that, but you realize that maybe you've strayed from that commitment. And today, you want to say, from what I've heard and what I've experienced today, you might say, I'm going to come back there. And so, just so I know who I'm praying with, is there anyone here saying that I've never really committed my life to Jesus? I've never really made him my Lord, and I'd like, you know, Pastor Bird to pray for me right now. Is there anybody who just like that? You can put up your hand. So I guess we've got a room full of already Christian. How many people here, there was a conviction to saying, Lord, I may be estranged a little bit from that Jesus as Lord, and I want to, like, just as a sign of kind of reaffirmation of my faith, you say, Lord, I want to reaffirm today by a show of your hand so that I can just pray with you. Man, Jesus is my Lord. You got quite a few people. Fantastic. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to declare Jesus is Lord once again in our lives. Lord, we don't know what the future is going to hold for each and every one of us, but what we do know is that the safest place that we can be in our hearts and lives is when we place our lives entirely into your hands. Lord, that we live not for what we think, what we feel, but we yield to you, the one who loves us more, who died for us, who forgives us of sin, who's risen again, and one day will come again to establish your glorious kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for transforming us and giving us a fresh touch from your Spirit.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.